the two presentations from EDD. Maybe before we get into the presentations themselves, I know you have been getting the copies now that you are all praising the Warm Health Department, saying the papers are still warm. Yeah, they are. And just to clarify so that it doesn't cause any confusion, we fully understand that you do have the presentation that you received before this hot one. It's the same content, it's the same thing, but the reason why you are distributing this one is you are just on the numbering and the flow that you want to get into. But when it comes to the content itself, it's not going to change anything on the previous document that you have received, you know. So we just wanted it to be coherent and have the same pattern when we present it. That's it. But it's the same thing. That is why I'm saying, the reason why I'm highlighting that, I know when you receive a document, you even do your notes on that one. You can stick to your notes. The content is still the same. But it will just be a flow so that when we are sitting at the side, we say slide number two, slide number three. You know exactly what you are referring to. I hope that is well accepted. Thank you very much. So when looking at the outline and the flow of the presentation, we have just highlighted it in that first slide as to say how we are going to do it, where the DG and the DDGs will be taking you through the different sections that you are going to be having, even the CFO getting into the financials of the report. So that will be exactly the flow. That is the outline, which I don't even need to get into it, looking at it like that. Then, can you change? Thank you very much. On that slide where you are looking at the areas of intervention during this period, this is where we are focusing on as the department, as to say, looking at those seven areas, those are the areas where we are saying in this period we are focused on very much so, looking at the competition function of the economy. We know that's the part where we are dealing with the dominance, the issues of competition, the cartels that are there, hence moving even to the amendment of the act that we have just presented to the committee. So it will be covered. Looking at the issues of the infrastructure coordination across the government, we're touching on the issues of the PIC there. The DG will be covering that part very well as to say what is it, how have you focused on that area as the department. Industrial financing of small and large businesses, looking much on what we have done even on the part of the IDC, and that was the major area of focus for the department that we have just gone through. Support and unblocking of the domestic investment. When we are looking at that, but when we are getting into the discussions again, we are looking at all the issues, the areas where there could be and the bottlenecks. More especially, I can just make one example. You go to where our investors are and where our industries are, you find that maybe there are even challenges with the way our municipalities function. So it's the duty of this department where we go, we have meetings even at the level of the municipality, we look at the issues of the aging infrastructure, the way services like water, you know, where these companies, the industries, the investors always complain, the way electricity is being supplied. So that is the support that you are giving to the domestic investment when it comes to that. But as I'm saying, mostly the issue of the municipality, that is where we have received a lot of complaints, and that is where we have got in very much so to try and unblock that so that we keep our investors comfortable and it is easier for them to do the work within domestically within the country. I'm sorry. Provincial support, the issue of collaboration and inclusion. Again, the issue of localization, it's on top of the agenda. What is it that you can do to make sure that even our small emerging business people, the whatever companies, that collaboration and the inclusion, that's the area, again, that was the major focus of our intervention in this period that you are looking at. The industry policy and facilitation. We know from the presentation we got the TI, looked at various sectors, the issues of the master plans and so forth, as that these two departments is one area where it's not an overlap, but it's one area where both of these departments who have been working in the same area, of which it will help very much now that we are merging the two departments so that we can consolidate all our resources to make sure that when it comes to the issue of industrial policy, the facilitation thereof, it is taken at one with one focus, where we won't be focusing on different departments as we have been doing. And also the issue of clean audit, yes, we are proud again that you are bringing the report where we are reporting on clean audit, but it's one of our focus again, even moving forward, is to say, how do we stick to that? How do we make sure that we intensify, and when it comes to the issues of internal controls and so forth, we don't move away from the position that you are in. So it's one other area where you are saying, as the department, we are focusing very much so to keep on having that clean audit and even making sure that we do away with ever findings where the AD can be. So I just wanted to make that introduction, then hand over to DG Tom to lead us so that he can even get to give to other DGs to lead us on some parts of the presentation that you are coming up with today. Through you, Chair, can I hand over to you, DG?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, members of the committee. I wanted to start by actually putting the context most differently. I wanted to start and put the context of the performance of the department. Is that okay? Is it better? Yes, the annual report is for that period that is indicated there. But it's important to understand the context within which that performance is actually happening. You know, we sometimes need to look into the whole economy and say, why is there is a subdued growth in our economy? But the picture that is there on the slide is actually tracking, showing how the local economy has been tracking the world economy. Now, specifically, I want us to look into 2012-2014, and then you look at how the economy has been tracking the global economy, right? If the global economy is going up, it was going up in the past. When it goes down, it was going down. But however, a phenomenon happened around about 2014, where the economy started to decouple from the global economy. If you look at the top line is actually reflecting that the global economy itself, it has been growing, but our economy has actually declined, right? Up to the financial year that we are talking about, 2018, it has declined. Now, but what is critical in there is that at the end of 2018, even when the economy has declined, you would actually see that there was 71 billion rands that was injected in the economy. This injection is the biggest injection that we have had since 2013, right? And historically, it's the fifth biggest injection that we have actually had. Then the question that we should be asking ourselves, what really happened when you have got an economy that is in decline, in our subdued? You would actually see that our economy, yes, it has been subdued, right? But it has created jobs. I'm indicating there that 1.2 million jobs were actually created. Why the economy is actually subdued? Now, we are making the point that the economy, it does have structural constraints. And we list the type of constraints that are there. We do have a high concentration in a number of markets in the economy. We do have insufficient diversification of our commodities sectors. We do have challenges of actually low innovations and entrepreneurship within the economy. And the spending is, the investment spending is also very, very low. Now, there are interventions that we have been injecting, right. One on the fiscal side, and also on the monetary side, and Lionel actually presented some of the industrial interventions that we actually made. Now, but there are two industries or sectors that I would like to speak to, because in our economy, we have got the steel industry or a sector as a backbone of our economy. Now, the department during that period has focused in that sector. It has focused in that sector because itself, it did experience a lot of challenges around jobs. Some of the companies, our big companies, were actually threatening the loss of jobs, and others were actually threatening to close up. Now, the department itself, it had to intervene in that steel industry in particular. Now, what has happened there? One of the challenges that we have, Chairperson, right, is that the industry is experiencing challenges around the municipalities, their relationship with the municipalities. Now, because if you look at the high electricity tariffs, right, that actually caused some of them to actually to close down. Now, the others, they are as a result of the low demand, right, of steel, right. The demand of steel is low, as we all know, that the challenges that we have on the construction, right, the construction which is very low, and that actually impacts negatively in that key industry. Now, what some of the actions that we have actually took, right, ourselves, are the ones that we have listed there, where we have actually assisted. ArcelorMittal is one of the largest producers of steel, right, and that in, and that entity, that business, is a player that needs to be supported within the industry, because if you look at the number of employees that are there, it could actually, itself, if it could ever close, it could actually bring down the whole economy, right? So as a result, ourselves, we do look after it because it wanted to actually to merge with the Highveld Steel. Right, we had to support them, and then they went to the competition tribunal, and that measure was actually successful. Now, the other challenge that is there is that is the scrap. Scrap is the raw material in that industry. Now, one of the challenges that we have had for some time is that there has been illicit activity around the scrap metal. Now, we had to revisit our PPS, the price preference system, which is actually a mechanism that we've actually put in place to ensure that all the downstream themselves, who are our key players in the beneficiation, they actually get the scrap. Then we had to extend the PPS. Right. And that PPS, we extended it, the last time we extended it is from June this year, right? We started in the year under review, right, in September of that year, and up to September of the last year, but then we had to extend that to the end of March. We are hopeful that at that time, we shall be able to have a better mechanism, right, which at some stage we can talk about it, that is the export tax. Now, the other intervention that we are making is that we are not only looking at the investors who have actually come, who have established. Sometimes when we speak about investors, We always sometimes think about the investors who are coming in, right, and actually forget about ensuring that we make business easier for those who have actually established. In that example about the provinces, is an example where we are actually working with the lower sphere of government, that is the provinces and the local government, to for them to actually to look after those investors that have actually established. And some of those investors are small businesses themselves, right? You need to find a way that we nurture those businesses that have actually established. Now, one of the things that we do there is the localization, because the localization that we have is that the local municipalities themselves, they need to be, to see it as their responsibility that they can be able to provide support to the businesses that have actually established, small businesses that have established in their jurisdictions. Now, on that slide, Chairperson, I'm just outlining what are the key areas that the department is focusing in. There are about 23 KPIs that it has focused in during that year. And in those KPIs, we are talking about products. Products, when I talk about products, Chairperson, I'm actually talking about the interventions that we actually make into the economy. We planned about 182 products in that period. But if you look at what has been achieved, we achieved more than what we targeted. That is 199 products that were achieved. Now, if you look at the spending on the budget, we spend about 97%, which probably you could suggest to someone else there was an underspending of 3%. In actual fact, Chairperson, that was not an underspending, because what actually happened with the Tirisano, you'll see when I speak about the transfers, that those companies that were actually penalized in 2010, under construction, those companies, they actually established the Tirisano. Now, along the way, some of them, they are experiencing financial challenges. Even though they have already received money from Treasury themselves, they are not actually able to make good, right? Which therefore meant the department, it needs to guard against spending the money that it does not have. As a result, we had that 3% that was actually not spent. With the performance of the economy, I would actually ask Len to speak to that. Len is the researcher, right? He's the economist within the department. He actually tell out the numbers around the economy.
Thanks, DG, Deputy Minister, Chairperson. We've included three slides just to provide some of the economic context for the financial year that's covered in this annual report period. I don't think there's much. I just maybe talk you through it briefly, but you can see from the slide that we've essentially had 4 years of financial years where GDP has dipped under 2%, which is not quite desirable. We see agriculture, mining, and construction that experienced quite significant challenges in the last financial year as well, some growth in business services, transport, or government. But I think this kind of slide for me raises the importance of the point made by the DG about nurturing the seeds of recovery that we feel were observable towards the end of 2018, as well as in the first quarter of 2019-20, which we can speak to about a bit later. So then just onto the next slide. Again, just really for your convenience, for some key numbers, the size of the South African economy, I mean, it's 200 billion larger, it grew by 200 billion rand in current rands, at least in this financial year. I think a little bit disappointing, if we look over the course of the whole administration, we do see, as the DG's also pointed out, fairly substantial job creation. But if we look at the last financial year, we give the job numbers towards the end of 2017-18 and then as well at the end of 2018-19. We see that job creation has also lagged in this financial year. The DG has made the point about the foreign direct investment as well picking up, which is an important vote of confidence. The third highest in our history in current rand, the foreign direct investment of 71 billion in 2018 calendar year. And then the next slide of the just a summary of the fifth administration economic data. And then DG, I'm just going to leave it there. If there are questions, we'll deal with. You know, we're happy to cover that in more detail later. Thanks.
Now, in that slide,
he dealt with that here, with those highlights. But the point that I wanted to raise there is the competition authority, right? The highlights of that function. Now, you will see that in the year under review, right, they actually imposed penalties, right, of about 2.8 billion rand, and then also created an economic value, right, by actually facilitating the participation of the historically disadvantaged persons. That was actually about a value of 20 billion rand. Now, the net job protected through the public interest was 141,000 jobs. Again, talking to that function, the competition function, you see the highlights there is that one of the tools that the competition has is actually on the mergers and acquisitions, right? Of course, that tool is a tool that is not necessarily opening up the economy, but it actually makes sure that you there are no anti-competitive behaviors in the economy. Now, the measures that were actually supported, there are about 27 measures. The big one of the biggest measures that actually happened is the famous one about this Chevron, right, which the committee is aware of. Now, I can talk to that, or the committee could actually read that. Now, if you look at the penalties, there were 334 million penalties that were actually imposed around the measures. And the jobs that were actually retained because of the measures were about 6,000 jobs. And we're able to save about 13,000 jobs, right, through those measures. The other important highlight about the competition function is that the committee will remember that we have got a Competition Act, but that Competition Act, we had to strengthen it. And in strengthening it, we had to look at what are the amendments that needed to be made. One of the important amendments, Chairperson, is that of actually strengthening the public interest. In other words, a minister to be able to intervene, right, into the into those whether there is a concentration or there is a measure. So we had to give the powers as one of the worst the amendments. We've got a number of amendments that we made. There are about 31 amendments that we made. Now, the other highlight there is that the president, remember that act was amended and it was signed by the president in February, right, of this year. One of the focus areas which are important in that act, in that amendment, was actually to ensure that we strengthen the economic transformation. Right? Remember, we said the economy has got structural challenges. Now, one of those objectives is actually to deal with that. The other two that we needed to be able to deal with structural challenge is the high concentration. And then the second one is the racially skewed ownership of the economy. Chairperson, there, the other highlight are the market inquiries. The highlight that we have on the market inquiries, the committee will remember that last year we actually called upon the public to actually to comment on the provisional recommendations that are proposed by the Competition Commission, right? A recent one, Chairperson, is the one on the health market inquiry, because that specific one, it actually moved from the proposed recommendations up to the final recommendations, right? That actually happened recently. The other market inquiries themselves, they will be concluded in due course. Others is this year, is this month rather. The others in the next month. Now, with the infrastructure coordination. Now, Chairperson, you will remember here that the PICC is actually responsible for monitoring the projects and that are actual of delivering infrastructure by the various departments. Through that process, it was able to track about 160,000 jobs that were under those projects, and the projects that were tracked, there are about 320, just over 300 projects that were monitored by the PICC. Now, the last investment, the spending on the infrastructure, which that is a government infrastructure, is 255 billion during that period, Chairperson. The other highlight, which falls directly under the rulings of the competition authority, is the Tirisano. Tirisano is the one that I spoke about. You will see that itself, it actually is run by the WASDEM, by the trustees, and the trustees actually approved about just over 70 million of the projects that are under the Tirisano. In the main, those projects is the funding of the upgrades in the schools, right? That was about 60 million during that period. The other intervention was actually to provide 30 million for bursaries for students who are actually following mathematics and science in those grades, grade 10 and grade 12. The other funding was actually to support students with a million, those who are actually in engineering field. This intervention here, Chairperson, I'm talking about the FIS administration, right? Because the year 2018, the year that we are talking about, has got a part which is under the FIS administration and a part which is under the SICS administration. But under the FIS administration, you will see that IDC actually approved 71 billion rands for small businesses. Of course, even some of the large businesses that are actually, they approach them. And they actually dispersed about 60 billion rands during that period. And the black industrialists, they are black industrialists, as Lionel said when he was presenting, those that are under the DTI, and there are those that are under the IDC. And in there, they actually funded about 26 billion rands for the black industrialists. And themselves, they actually are supporting, right, jobs of about 105,000 during that period. Now, this breakdown, Chairperson, this is the funding during the sixth administration. Now, there's the detail of it. There are the approvals. There are the disbursements and the portions that are funded to funding the black industrialists, and the portions that were funding the women empowered companies and some of the youth empowered. In total, about 20,000 jobs were actually created. Chairperson, you'll remember that this is investment, right? This is investment support. Remember that in October last year, we had an investment conference, right? The EDD coordinated, supported in the setting up of that investment, in the organizing of that investment. And again, 1.2 trillion rand were actually investment that were raised during that conference. And the pledges were about 290 billion rand were pledges during that investment conference. Chairperson, this is a critical area. This unblocking is very critical in the economy, because this one, it actually talks to the investors who have actually established. And in there, I would actually ask Mohammed, who I'm just taking water, to, just to speak to that.
On the Highveld Industrial Park, it's an industrial park with about 51 tenants, and they have facilities there to train people, and they have an agricultural area there with sufficient water and land. So we've managed to get AFGRI, which is an agro-processing firm, to go to Highveld and train the local communities there on household farming and so on. So that was one of the first projects. The second one is a chap that produces chalk, and he had the equipment, but he couldn't get the formula right. So we managed to get another company to help him. They helped him free of charge, and now he's providing this chalk to most of the schools in Mpumalanga, in the areas that he stays in. So it's like just a two-people business, and he's got a huge government contract. Small business, but it's very effective. Also, the third one, increase in grain storage subsidies for small farmers by AFGRI. When the AFGRI merger took place, we got small farmers to get a discount for the storage. And the discount was at 40%. We managed to get that up to 50% for anyone that stores up to 10 tons. Okay, so this advanced brushware and Poverty packaging, we got them into the supply chain of Massmart and the fruit spot stores, and also to build this warehouse. And then the last one, we've got a duty reduction. There were some challenges there with getting that approved, and we managed to process it through the processes of National Treasury and finally get it to start for approval. Those are some examples.
Mohammed, just check, maybe the minister's phoning. Okay.
Chairperson, those are examples of small businesses, right, that we have opened up opportunities for themselves to participate and with the bigger businesses. Those are the examples. Now, the example that is on the table there. Remember, Chairperson, I said to ensure this the unblocking, addressing some of these challenges, we do that in all the various provinces. Right. Now, there is a breakdown of the provinces that we visited during that period. And some of them, they had challenges, like the financial challenges, right? And some of them, the non-financial challenges. The examples that I made about the difficulties that they experience in engaging with their local municipalities. Now here, you have got small businesses that are actually find themselves now being included into the economy through this support. Now, in there, Chairperson, we are more talking about a conference that we actually set up around the social economy. Social economy is a very critical economy, right? We sometimes speak about the high-level economies, right, of the activities within the developed areas. But, however, forgetting that there are entrepreneurs, like cooperatives, that actually need to be brought in the mainstream of the economy. Now, that policy framework is a policy framework that we have developed, and it is at a stage where we are actually putting in place a green paper which will actually be converted into a policy of government probably next year. Now, here, Chairperson, we are actually talking about the steel industry. I spoke about it earlier on, but here we're actually saying what are the supports that were actually provided in the steel industry. I will actually not go through that again because I did actually speak to that, Chairperson. And also the agro industry, particularly the sugar. Lionel spoke about it, and you'll see that we are actually working together with the two departments in that area. On the finance side, CFO, can you just talk to that?
Thank you, Gigi. Chairperson, honorable members, GM. On the finance side, we've obtained a team audit. This is our second team audit since the establishment of the Economic Development Department. This, as AG has explained, it means that we did not have any findings in terms of financial statements, in terms of performance information, or non-compliance. Should I go to the finances? Let me speak to the rest of the finances, and I will talk to that and the HR slides. All right. If I can direct the members to slide number. Slide number 34. Slide number 34, okay, in terms of HR, we have obviously permanent staff members, we have contract staff members, which we have, and we have sourced in staff members through the PICC, technical unit, which is housed within the IDC, okay. As at the end of the financial year, our senior management, the woman sitting in senior management, that percentage was sitting at 48%. You'll see that number went up slightly to 51% when we get to the Q1, to the end of the Q1. There were certain policies which were of a challenge to the department which we needed to address urgently relating to HR. We've addressed those. If I can go to the next slide. The next slide talks to the actual expenditure relating to human resources. Okay, on that slide, we have three programs, and then I think the key thing there is to look at the average cost per employee within the different programs. Obviously, we have more people sitting within administration who are sitting at a lower level in comparison to where the core is sitting. So, for example, when you look at your growth path, that average cost per employee will be higher compared to the average cost per employee within administration, because there we have more junior staff members. And that is the direction that continues with the different programs. Okay, so the overall, for the entire department, the average cost per employee is sitting at 825. As at the end of the financial year, we had 105 staff members. We had only spent 155 on training of the staff members. The next slide. It looks at it from a band perspective. So it just repeats the same information, but looking at it from a band. So you'll obviously expect the average to be higher when you're looking at a higher band compared to a lower band. So I won't go into the details of that. Like I said, we had 105 staff members at year end. There is an interesting slide which we've included here, which I want to talk to. And the main reason for that is because AG has spoken to the slide. It's on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that the department had. So we had a policy that spoke to the employment performance and development system of the department, which was interpreted differently by different people throughout the years. So when we were then interpreting this same policy for the financial year 2015-16. We found that it was there were errors in that policy, and then we had to correct that, and that resulted in the correction and in assessing what had transpired. We found that people were actually paid who shouldn't have been paid performance bonuses. So that's where that fruitless and wasteful expenditure is coming from. Initially, we had classified that as irregular expenditure, and then obviously we've engaged with National Treasury on this aspect, and then they've said the best place to classify it is as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And it's also aligned to the change in their framework, which came into effect now in May 2019. Okay, so that amount is for the year 2014-15, that amount was 388, and then for the year, the bigger chunk of that figure came out of the year 2015-2016. Okay, so the person who was responsible for overseeing the policy has been disciplined. The disciplinary process took place, and then the person has been dismissed. I do need to put it forth to the committee that the person is currently appealing to the CCMA. So that's where the process is as it stands. Obviously, if it's fruitless and wasteful expenditure, that money will have to be recovered, which is a process that we will have to be doing to embark on as a department. Next slide, the financial overview. That slide, we're just saying we've spent 97.3%. You've seen that a few times. And the reason for that, if I can just explain that now, we have transfers that we need to make to the IDC. IDC, who are the trust administrator for the trust fund, which is the Tirisano Trust. There are conditions that have been imposed by National Treasury to say there are certain amounts which you can only transfer once you've received payments from the companies. As you will all know, it was all over the news. We had Group 5, we had Bethel Reed that are currently under business rescue, and they could not, as a result, pay money into the NRF. That's the condition. So they need to pay money into the NRF before we can transfer the money to the trust administrator. So because that did not take place, we were not able to transfer the funds, resulting in our underspending. You will see when we get to a later slide how much the actual quantum of that amount relating to that, it was a 2.7%. Honorable members, the next slide, this is actually quite an important slide for the EDD. We are quite a small department. You will see if you look at this slide here, we have about $1 billion. And then out of that billion, the department only has about 135 of that. The difference of that all goes towards transfers. The biggest transfer going towards the Competition Commission. We transfer as well towards the Tirisano. We transfer towards CIFA and all the other entities, PICC, the Steel Fund, which the DG was talking about. Yes. So the department only has 13% of that full appropriation that comes to the department. So it's important to understand the budget that we work with as a department. On the next slide, Chairperson, if you just look at the comparison in terms of spending from the previous year to the current, when I say the current, I'm talking about the year that we are looking at, the 18-19, we've always spent roughly almost 100%. Obviously, we always say you can't be exactly 100% because then you might just go over. We always had about 99.8%, but last year, because of what I've explained, we were sitting at 97%. Okay, our biggest spending, again, is sitting within Program 3, which is that investment, competition, and trade. That's where our transfers to the entities are housed. On the next slide, just shows the economic breakdown of our transfers. All right. We are quite a, if I may say, a labor-intensive department, so we are people-driven. So our biggest expenditure comes from the compensation of employees, if you exclude the transfers, obviously. And then our goods and services, we spend more or less in line. So if you look at that amount that I was talking about, the 26, there's an amount of 26 million relating to the transfer. That's line number three. I'm on that slide that we're looking at, 26 million. You will see that's our biggest. That's the biggest reason for our under expenditure, which related to the Tirisano Fund, which I was explaining earlier on. Chairperson, transfers to entities. We again show that transfers to the entities from the previous financial year to the current financial year. The biggest the other entities, the transfers have gone up by inflation, whereas with the IDC, that amount went up quite significantly. And the biggest jump was because of the Tirisano Fund again. The allocated amount was at 240, but we've only had to transfer about, okay, I didn't put the amount here. Oh, we only transferred 213 with that difference of 26. Thank you. Yeah, so at IDC, we transfer funds that go to the CIFA. We transfer funds that go to towards the utilization for the Tirisano Fund. We transfer funds for the Steel Fund and the PICC. So we do that jointly with the IDC for the functioning of the PICC. Okay, in terms of revenue, our revenue, some of them are small amounts. The biggest chunk is we get dividends of about 50 million annually from the IDC, and then we get penalties also that are coming from the construction fund, the same, which is the Tirisano Fund. We had expected to receive more than that 96 that we have there, and we had received less due to what I've explained, the two companies going into business rescue. My last slide, Chairperson. We receive funds from the Competition Commission. This is for penalties that they collect for the work that they do. The money is not recognized as revenue in the EDD's books. This money just comes in and then goes straight into the NRF. So if you look at, so you'll see that the Competition Commission actually contributes quite significantly towards the NRF or the fiscus in terms of the penalties that they collect from the work that they do. We were able to pay about 800 of that amount, 58 of that was paid in the next financial year, which is 1920. Gigi, thank you.
Chairperson, those are the highlights, the major areas that actually were the highlights of that quarter. One is the, remember that I made a point that we have got a Competition Amendment Act that was signed off in February by the President. Now, then the next thing, it needs to be implemented. Now, we had to establish the state of readiness of the competition authority, right, to implement that process. That is one highlight, it's a major highlight, because it is in the context of what we said, the economy had a decline, and also the markets are concentrated as one of the challenges that we have in the economy. Therefore, the implementation of this act is very critical, and we shall talk to it as to exactly what is it that we have done to date. The second intervention, right, or focus area, right, is in the EDCON, the measure of the EDCON. Right, there we actually prevented a number of jobs that were nearly lost, right. The members of the committee will remember that it was all over in the papers. Now, the third one, we actually established a tourism fund. A tourism fund, we established that with the Department of Tourism, and we decided to actually to make sure that is created within the IDC, right, because themselves that funding is there to actually to look into the viable tourism project. The fourth area, right, is the measure that is there between AMSA and Highfield Steel. In the poultry industry, right, is the LEQA investment is one of the big investment in the poultry that we have actually have. It appoints about 4,500 employees. Right, they actually had some challenges. I'll go into the details there to say exactly what is it that actually happened in that big investment. Now, the sixth one is the extension of the PPS. Right, we've spoken about this, Chairperson, and the importance of the PPS in the economy, right, particularly in the steel industry. The last one is the seventh highlight are the provisional recommendations that have actually been published, right, in that year, and I did indicate there that the health market inquiry is the only one of the four that actually has the final recommendations. And then from there, we'll then talk about the KPIs. Right, I'll actually ask Dr. Poole to talk into that detail. Now, Chairperson, you'll remember that in that year, in that first quarter, the real growth of the economy actually grew by 3.1%. Right, but however, if you contrast it with the previous quarter, there was a contraction of about 3%, right, with the previous quarter. Now, when it comes to the unemployment rate, the members will remember that we had almost 30% of the unemployed, which was 29%. But during that period, right, there were jobs that were actually created, about 21,000, right, people who were created. However, if you contrast it with those who actually joined the market, you will see that there was a huge number, which means that people began to have confidence that the economy is actually performing in this way, and therefore they entered the market. Now, Lionel did speak about the reconfiguration. Reconfiguration is happening between the department and the DTI, and you'll remember that some of the functions, and particularly the KPIs around the infrastructure, are now, which were under the PIC, they are moving to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And however, the KPIs that are under that program will still be performed by the PICC, but we have got an arrangement between the two departments. Right. Of course, the NMOC is in the process. It will be completed hopefully by the end of December. Now, one of the important initiatives that we are participating in, right, as a department, is the district development model. Remember that the department has been practicing in this manner, right? I did give examples there, right? We actually saw an opportunity to be able to enhance that model, right, as a department. And one of the other initiatives that we are actually doing, right, as requested by the Presidential Coordinating Council, is actually to draft a report on the spatial economic strategy, right, in the provinces and also in the districts. I just wanted to just make that point, Chairperson. Now, the performance of the in that quarter, we targeted about 8 KPIs. Now, in that 8 KPIs, we actually planned We've got 8 KPIs. Now, we actually planned 31 products during that quarter. Now, we achieved 32. But the spending, right, instead of about 25%, because it's a quarter, we actually spend about 27%. If you look at those highlights, I actually did make a point about the four, right? But if you look at the expenditure itself, the expenditure, I did say that we've spent about 27%, but in the main, that expenditure are transfers that we made to the entities that we have in the department. And if you look at the HR, right, in terms of gender, you see that about 52% of the staff at the SMS level are actually female. Now, Len, if you could just talk to that economic.
Thanks, DG. I think after 4 p.m. on any given day, one should be very careful with economic numbers, Chairperson. So I'm going to pull out some highlights. Let me see if I can master this. All right, I've mastered it. I think the committee has these slides. I want to pull out three basic points, which I think are of note. The first one is obviously that after a very disappointing result in the first quarter of 2019, so calendar 2019, it obviously was encouraging to see that recovery. I just want to highlight that all of these values are, so if you look at the diagram there or the figure there, I mean, these are all annualized results. You know, it's quite interesting for me sometimes as South Africans how we ride a kind of emotional roller coaster. I suspect if you ask the average South African person, what does that 3.1% contraction or growth mean? Then he or she will think it means the economy grew or failed by 3%. When that's an annualized result, so we're talking about 0.7%. So I think if I can leave you with a sort of a narrative of where the economy is at the moment, it's disappointingly flat. But it's not the kind of roller coaster, like off a cliff kind of narrative. So having said that, I think you know a 3.1% annualized growth then is an encouraging sign that some of the seeds that were planted in 2018 continue to come to fruit, if that's the correct metaphor. This result, I mean, was particularly driven by a recovery in mining. So you'll see there a 14.4% annualized growth. So in that quarter, in real volume terms, mining actually improved by about 3.5% from the previous quarter. We have for you there on the next slide kind of a breakdown of where the different industries, how they've been doing over the last 5 quarters. So this would include, obviously, the annual report period, and then we've added this quarter as well. And you can see the mining result, trade 3.9%, business services 4.1% growth. So I think it's too soon to draw strong conclusions about mining. It's an industry that has been under pressure. We know that a lot of key commodity prices have been weak. We saw 3 previous quarters of contraction. We've included them there for us. But obviously it's an encouraging sign, as is the recovery of trade after 2 consecutive quarters of contraction after that as well. I promise not to get too numbers heavy, but Chairperson, I suspect I am getting into it, but you'll correct me when it gets too much. So that's the first point. The other one, and I think this is really important, the DG made the point that in 2018 we had a recovery in foreign direct investment. Now, that's essentially buying existing assets in the South African economy by internationals, by foreigners, essentially. Capital spending in the economy for a long time now has been weaker than we require it. A rule of thumb would be that we probably needed to be about 25% of GDP, and we've been hitting 18% or so. If you look at the figure there, and you look at gross fixed capital formation, which is spending on durable capital assets, essentially, I think it's very important that in this quarter that we're talking about, after 5 quarters of contraction that we saw that 6.1% growth. So on the right-hand column, the third row, you'll see that as quite a strong indication of a return of confidence. Now we haven't included a slide on this, but we did have a look at what gross fixed capital formation has actually strengthened, and it's encouraging things. It's things like machinery. In fact, machinery, spending on new machinery increased by an annualized 17%. So that's another, for me, an important sign that there is a, that the seeds are taking, are flourishing. Yes, thank you for that. So that's the second point that I'd like to leave you with. And then the third one, let me just take this slide. So obviously, at the same time, in this quarter that we're talking about, it was a very disappointing quarter from the perspective of the unemployment rate, which increased to 29%. The 21,000 jobs that were created in the quarter is simply not enough. It's also lower than most of the quarters we've had. So I think we have to state that clearly. It's very interesting to try to understand, though, or to look at the labor force dynamics that shaped this. I mean, jobs were created, not enough jobs. But this increase of 476,000 in the labor force is a very interesting result. Some of it is new entrants. But what we see in South Africa's labor market is that there are particular groups of people who provisionally enter or leave the labor market. So they're not new entrants. They are responding to what they regard as hope or lack of hope in the economy. Because, the unemployment rate is an important indicator, but it can sometimes be unfair because the moment you take any step to look for a job, you change your status. You become part of the labor force. If you sit back, if you're discouraged, you're not part of the labor force according to this metric. But if you take a step, maybe your neighbor's gotten a job, then you count it. And what's interesting about this, over the last 10 years, it's particularly women who are of between the ages of 30 or 45, so if we take the last 10 years, who enter and leave the labor market in response to what they perceive as changing conditions. So a socially very desirable feature of our economy can translate into substantial increases in the labor force. So that's not to evade the issue that we have to reduce the unemployment rate, but you can have, as we've had, if we take the period since the new growth path, so October 2010, we've created about 2.7 million jobs in this period, but we have not shifted that unemployment rate enough. All right. So those are the three points, Chair, very briefly to summarize. Some signs of recovery, encouraging trends in capital spend, and the need perhaps for some nuance in understanding what happened in the first quarter of this financial year. Thank you.
Okay. I'll actually go into the KPI, Dr. Pola, can you start talking to that?
Chairperson, DG, members, and Deputy Minister, I'll run through the key performance indicators and the key performance areas for Q1. DG has already gone through some of the high-level products as on the screen at the moment now. The first one, which is the institutional requirements for the Competition Amendment Act. Specifically, I think this achievement is an important one because, as DG was saying, in the last financial year, Chair, with the passing of the Competition Amendment Act, it became necessary for the department to start thinking about, once the Competition Amendment Act has been passed, are we ready to implement the provisions of the Competition Amendment Act now? As part of that process, Minister then appointed an expert panel, which had the relevant expertise, legal, financial, and the like, to look at the Competition Amendment Act in terms of the provisions, institutional requirements that we need to put in place in the competition authority. So both the Competition Commission and the Competition Tribunal, and what needs to be done. Some of the recommendations that have come out of that report would look at the organizational structure of the commission and how do we rearrange the organizational, internal organizational structure of the Competition Commission as well as the tribunal, members will be aware that some of the requirements in the Competition Amendment Act, as an illustration, would require the appointment of deputy commissioners responsible for market inquiries, as an illustration. Some of the other areas that's important would be with the Competition Amendment Act, we anticipate, obviously, a greater caseload coming into the competition authorities. Now, as part of that, we need to look at how do we better manage the caseload that we anticipate will be increased to ensure that we optimize functioning. So, for instance, do we have a case management committee that allows us to be able, as the competition authorities, to run through cases more efficiently? The funding model was also looked at. Essentially, on the funding model, the recommendation would be that we stick with the current funding model, where primarily it's from the fiscus, and they get approvals in terms of using interest and on penalties as well as my major filing fees. That's an important consideration slide, given the importance of the Competition Amendment Act. Now, before I move from this slide, Chairperson, DG also mentioned previously, as the DG October, the issue of the NMOC, the merging of the departments. A key part of that, obviously, is now with the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, it's important that we give the relevant seriousness further to the functions in that new department. So that's the one focus area. DG also spoke about the EDCON issue. I won't go into too much detail. The further in the presentation, you'll see under the KPIs, we go into a great level of detail. But essentially, as a key highlight, EDD participated in this process, as is the want from the Act, and the key public interest conditions that relate to this measure arise around issues on import replacement. The issue of import replacement, obviously, is an important issue, Chairperson, in that we want to make sure that, as far as possible, we produce in our country and we minimize that which we import. Now, the existing value chains, such as the retail in this case, are a necessary step in terms of ensuring that we ensure participation of our small as well as large South African producers. BE participation is an important part of that measure as well as obviously to ensure that we minimize job losses through the measure and as a condition. Tourism, hole in the wall, this is an important one. Now, we put in this, Chairperson, as a status update. We previously reported on work that we did in Q4 last financial year, for that Q specifically. This is a project that the Department of Tourism is implementing with the IDC and EDD is facilitating. Essentially, the aim here is to develop a resort, hole in the wall, in the King Sabata Dalindyebo District Municipality in the Eastern Cape. And where we are now is that during the quota under review, we had site visits on that. A key link to this is the tourism fund. DG spoke about the tourism fund and the highlights. The tourism equity fund will be housed at the Industrial Development Corporation, IDC, will be funded with the Department of Tourism, and the hole in the wall project is envisaged as the first major project that will be funded through the Tourism Equity Fund. This is an important collaborative effort. I think one of the issues that we are constantly reminded of as the department is the necessity to ensure that, although we are aware of it because it's part of our role, but the necessity to constantly ensure that there is appropriate and adequate collaboration between national sphere, provincial sphere, local municipality, and the relevant entities. This is one of the most, I think, important projects that we are currently engaging in. Incidentally, the state president visited the district municipality during Q2, though, on the 17th of September, and this is one of the projects that we briefed on. It's an ongoing project, and the fund is currently funded and capitalized in the IDC, and this is one of the projects that will benefit from that fund. The ownership structure, Chairperson, does involve stakes for the community trust in that area. The third area that DG spoke about is obviously the Highveld steel, structural steel mill. Now, it's a bit confusing sometimes because we mentioned the Highveld at various points. Mohamed Vauder in the report for the annual report mentioned the agri training in the Highveld. This one refers specifically to the sale of the Highveld structural steel mill to AMSA and saving of 220 jobs. So this was a significant intervention that EDD, through the leadership of Minister, acted as an arbitrator to try and as this process at some point, Chair, was stuck, so we needed to intervene as EDD to support that process and get it moving. The conversation, Chairperson, around working in municipalities is important. The Lekwa Gold Municipality unblocking is a typical example of that. It's very important, I think, DG, that Chairperson, that we recognize that the work of unblocking, this is one such unblocking, the work of the unblocking is a detailed piece of work, obviously, in order to be able to unblock, and working with various levels of government, such as municipalities in this case, becomes an important part of achieving that aim. The work that was done around the Lekwa chickens in terms of ensuring that they've got access to water, which without such access would have had a significant and devastating effect, really, on the area, on employment, and on the industry. During the queue. The price preference system extension, the 9-month extension, DG alluded to that, is an important piece of work that we are currently working on, Chairperson, in the lead up to the introduction possibly of an export tax. We know that the Minister of Finance earlier this year announced the consideration for an implementation of an export tax. Key work is being done. Technical work is being done in terms of ensuring that we reach that milestone. The critical part in Q1 was the extension of the PPS, obviously, as the technical work was still being finalized. We anticipate, as the PPS expires at the end of this current financial year, that by then we should be finished on that. The provisional market inquiry reports, Chairperson, we're given this by way of update because I think DG has mentioned the fact that provisional results have been issued on the two, but also the issue around the healthcare market inquiry report, which was finally issued during September. This one, Chairperson, I want to also go back to the issue around competition issues, because competition issues and changing the structure of the economy is a fundamental part of the work that we do now and the work that we do go forward. An important part of this, Chairperson, through you, is that we recognize that in order for us to efficiently and effectively work on changing the structure of the economy using competition policy, it's important that we are able to also interact with various role players. For instance, in the case of the data market inquiry, working with the department of the relevant government department, in the grocery retail market, apart from what's mentioned there, we also work with the Department of Social Small Business Development. Issues around the development of regulations, guidelines, and all of that would be part of taking such findings from these type of market inquiries, sitting together with our key stakeholders, and ensuring that as a policy department we implement in a coordinated manner. I think that's an important part of what is required there. That's a status update, Chair. Now, those slides that we just did, Chairperson, essentially gave a little bit more detail in terms of the highlighted areas that the Director General was referring to. The next section, which I won't go into too much detail on, essentially goes through our entire key performance areas and just gives you an indicative sense where, in terms of key quarter one, where are we in terms of our key performance areas. You'll recall earlier in the presentation, slide number five, DG had a summary slide that showed this slide. This showed the number of KPIs for quarter one, as well as the products that we achieved and the product that we had planned against the annual project target of 183 products, which is slightly up from annual report where we spoke of a lower number in terms of, I think the difference is one or two What I'm going to talk to now will just give a bit more context, Chairperson, around this particular slide. So if I move away from slide 5, Chair, committee members, and I move now to where I was, which is slide 23 and 24. So for KPI 1, which is not the, actually refers to the audit findings, right, which does not have a target in Q1, Chairperson, that's why I didn't put it under administration. But for KPI 2, 3, and 6, and these are arranged according to our strategic objective. There was one product targeted, which we did not finalize. There's a number of products, but we didn't finalize the one we're looking at. That product is linked to the social economy. DG mentioned in the last annual report, in the last annual year ended March, that the social economy had implemented a national conference. The key aim of the work that we're doing in the social economy is to develop a draft green paper with a view to developing a final white paper. Our aim is to be done with the white paper at the end of this current financial year. This is why DG was referring to cabinet processes. During the queue under review, a key part of the work that was done on the social economy was to work with the provinces and sit down, and we planned around going into the provinces to consult the green paper. So there's a draft green paper which we consulted in the 29th of February at the IDC. We had about 200 participants in that, and we were graced, thankfully, by the then Minister of Small Business as well as the Director General of the International Labour Organization, in addition to our own Minister, Ibrahim Patel. Now, the work that is currently ongoing in the social economy now, flowing from the planning that was done with provinces, is to go around in all the provinces, and those are the dates that you see. Those dates are in Q2, and work not with. We're not trying in those consultations, Chair, to work with entities that have got a voice. And when I say entities that have got a voice, I'm talking about entities that we could get a hold of in an urban environment. You go to Sandton, you go this. So when we had our conference in February, we had it in Sandton. But the challenge with that is that you then exclude organizations, cooperatives, Stockfels, NGOs, NPOs, that will not be able, Chairperson, to catch a quick flight to Sandton. And therefore, the work that's been done now is to go to communities. We have already been to the Northwest Province, Limpopo, we went to Toyando and others. So that's the social economy, and our hope and the plan is to be done with a green paper at the end of the current financial year. And that would then be reported under the KPI 2. Going forward, those KPIs didn't have any products. Not all, as you can see from that summary slide, only 8 KPIs are targets for Q1. Now, obviously, that is a function of the fact that we would start preparing some of our work in Q1, and then the products will get finalized in various queues. Right? So those are the products there. These KPIs that are coming up are largely where most of our work in Q1 are. DG also mentioned, Chair and committee members, that there are certain KPIs which are specific and are delivered by the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission's technical unit. In fact, all of those, bar 13, are predominantly PICC KPIs. Those KPIs, Chairperson, by way of clarification, are currently reported in the EDD annual performance plan, because the annual performance plan was tabled before the NMOC process, and therefore we have to continue. In order for us to edit that, we have to retable it. And this is the arrangement that the Director General was referring to with regard to our working together with the Department of Public Works. With regard to these KPIs, on all of these KPIs except KPI 10, we achieved our targets. KPI 10 refers to meetings of the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission. The target for the PICC for the queue was 7 meetings. Now, these 7 meetings include meetings of the PICC Secretariat, meetings of the PICC Council, meetings of the PICC Management Committee, as well as what we call the SIP Coordinators Forum and others. Some of those meetings, Chairperson, are meetings which we cannot convene as a department. They are convened by our political principals, such as the PICC Council, as an illustration, is chaired by the state president, and they call that meeting. The meeting of the PICC Secretariat is chaired by the minister, then responsible responsible for economic development, now the minister responsible for infrastructure, which is DPW. Because of the NMOG and the elections and that in that period, that then resulted in an achievement of 4 out of 7. The 4 would be 3 SIP coordinator forums as well as 1 Tirisano fund. The rest of the KPIs we achieved or overachieved on them. The construction update, and this one will be quick, Chairperson, with the standard KPI. The PICC on a quarterly basis has to produce a set of reports on all 18 SIPs, which are then submitted to the PICC. So this is a standard KPI, highly technical work done by the PICC technical unit. These are the meetings that I was referring to, KPI 10, where we got 4 out of 7. We are not particularly concerned, Chairperson, in that with the finalization now, as was earlier said and intimated, in terms of the NMOC process, the economic development is working with 2 departments. One is Public Works for offboarding PICC from EDD to Public Works. The other department that we're working with, obviously, is the Department of Trade and Industry in terms of that measure. In terms of that process, we are proceeding well. We should be well on track, and therefore this KPI should be fine. We don't anticipate any challenges in getting into it going forward. The KPI 5 refers to SIP 5. So SIP 5 is so each SIP chairperson, I'm sure members are aware, has got a SIP chairperson. The minister responsible for economic development, Minister Ibrahim Patel, was the chairperson for SIP 5, and currently that sort of the SIP chairpersonships and all, every other governance structure of the PICC is being looked at in the light of it moving to Public Works. So that is being reviewed. But in the court under view, one of the main issues which is also permeating and coming out of previous quarters, Chair, is the issue around social facilitation on construction sites. So the issue of being able to develop a solid and effective strategy to ensure that we minimize and, in fact, totally eradicate disruption of construction sites. So social facilitation strategy. Now, obviously, you one has to be cautious here. The suggestion is not to suggest that there is no plan. The suggestion is to say that we're looking at it as a critical area, given that issues such as when we say we can only hire local, what do we mean by local? And that can cause some misinterpretation. If I'm Molefe and I live in Bibato in the Val, and my view is that if somebody who lives from Giani in Limpopo is hired on a project, I have an issue with that. I mean, so these are some of the issues that the PICC is grappling with to make sure. So this is a key deliverable that we looked at to try and draw some lessons in terms of that. So that's an action minute that we did. That's just more detail on that. Now, Highveld, I spoke about in terms of as part of the focus areas, Chairperson. This slide goes back to when DG in the annual report presentation, Chair, requested Mohamed Vara to talk about unblocking. This is some of the unblockings that were done in KPI 13. So without going into too much, you know, without repeating the same thing, this is essentially the spirit that this is the unblocking. Now, this is one area where we overachieved in that the target was 3 for the quarter, and I believe we achieved 5. Now, this is an important one, Chairperson, because the work of the economic development is obviously coordination, and it's also a responsive department. Therefore, you cannot turn down requests if there's a blockage or there's an issue. We cannot then say to community members and South Africans that our target is 3, therefore we cannot help you. We take the work as it comes without suggesting that we are just sitting and waiting. The other side of the coin, Chairperson, is that we obviously will look at work that we've been done previous quarters, previous years, to say where are we, is there anything that we need to follow up, are we satisfied with the work that's been done in terms of unblocking. So that is one, as I said earlier when I started, some KPIs we would have achieved or overachieved. This is one in which we overachieved. I think it's also important in slides such as this one, Chairperson, to point out the importance of integration in the work that we do. I mean, for instance, if you look at unblocking number 4 on the water tainer and the work that we would have done with MassSmart. Now, you must remember the relationship that we then form out of the merger with Massmart and Walmart, and we're able to leverage such relationships to ensure that we're able to implement. I think that's a very important point, Chairperson, in that apart from working with provinces and working with communities, it's important that we realize that our work is also to look at what work are we doing in one part of the department and how do we leverage that to advance other strategic objectives of the department. Without going into too much detail on some of these unblockings, I just a bit more detail on that. I'm moving. Then these are more KPI 14 and 15 refer to the DFIs and the reporting on that, as well as ministerial engagements with the IDC and the funding that we put a bit more detail here in order to also, Chairperson, just make the point that we anticipate jobs, deals go bad, people cancel deals, you then have loss, but we have to sort of be able to compensate for that. I mean, it's a constant tug and push in terms of the work that we do as a department. Quarterly reports, obviously, these are standard administrative PFMA required reports that we get to on slide 45. The work of the regulators, also again standard work, technically looking at the APPs and all that. So that this is, if you look at those three bullet points, Chairperson, we consider that one product. We don't consider that three different products. We feel that our review of our quarterly reports and our annual reports and the meetings that we have with entities builds towards effective oversight of the entity. So these wouldn't be one product. These are three. These wouldn't be three products. Sorry, this is one product. We've mentioned EDCON in the oversight. I said this was the detail that goes into that. The PPS we've also mentioned as one of the highlight areas. That Chairperson, would bring me to the end to say that on the whole, insofar as the key performance indicators are concerned for quarter one, we've met our targets. We missed the one target, which we are confident we shall catch up on, and then there's the issue of the PICC meetings, which we're on top of. So that is the KPI update. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I'm going to be very quick. I had explained when we were doing the annual report that our ratio in terms of women in SMS positions has gone up by 51.5%. If I continue, I won't go into the details again of the slide. Members have that. If they have any questions, I'll take those. There is a particular slide I want to go into on the HR. If you look at our gender equity, all right. As a department, you'll see that we have more females than we have males in the department. Under SMS, we're currently sitting with, well, as at quarter one, we're sitting with 52%. And then under non-SMS, we actually had 68%. And then overall, we're sitting with 63%, which is significantly higher than the target of 50% which we had then. All right, and our staff complement had gone down from the 105 that we had at when we closed off the year to 102. This is another important slide I want to talk to. In terms of the disabilities, people with disabilities, the department achieved a target of, achieved 2.9, we had 2.9 people over a target of 2%. That's basically that. And then in terms of the financial, this is the only slide I'll go through, and then the other slides I'll just take questions if it's okay, Chairperson. All right. For Q1, we had spent 27%. Ideally, you would have expected a 25% spend by Q1, and this was mainly because of accruals. You would know that normally at year end, you normally have certain accruals that you start paying off when the new year starts off, and this was mainly because of that, that figure there. And then another aspect was that we had call adjustments for non-SMS staff, level 1 to 12, which were done effective from April, which were also effected within the Q1 period, which will explain also this slide here. If you look at our COE under Program 1, there was a slight overspend there. because in comparison to what we had projected because of that collar adjustment that we had. And then in terms of goods and services, like I said, it's the accruals that we had coming from the closure of the previous financial year. The biggest components of our spending within goods and services are obviously our office accommodation, legal fees, our audit costs, and our travel. Those are the biggest cost drivers sitting within our goods and services. Thank you, Chair. Thanks, DJ.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I will not add, but just to thank yourself and the members for allowing the senior managers to participate so they justify the cost of coming up here. Thank you.
I think I will be fair to say you can do 5 minutes conversation.
Okay.
In the conversation.
Good.
Okay. So we can break for 5 minutes and come back. I think it's because those flags are helpful that we want on some of the things.